Hey guys, Nate Sweeney, the directional leader of the Abiding Network here, and I personally want to say thank you for checking out the Abiding Life podcast. Our heart in sharing this podcast is that we can give you practical, spiritual, biblical tools to help you on your journey of intimacy with Christ. If you want to get more biblical resources, or if you're interested in partnering us with prayer and financial support, you can check us out at www.abidingnetwork.com, where we have many ministry resources to help you on your journey. Thank you so much for checking out the Abiding Life podcast, and God bless you. Hey guys, Nate Sweeney here, directional leader of the Abiding Life podcast. Thank you for checking us out and being a part of what God is doing. I am here with my friend and Caleb Brakey, and he has been phenomenal. We are in podcast number 4 with him. Four podcasts. And so if you're hearing this for the first time, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to podcasts 1 through 3, because he's bringing concepts that build upon one another. And so Caleb, thank you for being with us today. Love you, brother. And if you are watching this or on the website, or even in the notes there on iTunes or Spotify, we've linked his website, Sermon to Book, Speaking to Book, his own personal website. We encourage you to check that out. So we started, Caleb, with podcast 1, In the Pantry, Gathering Ingredients. What do we even need if I feel led that I want to be this author? I've got this stirring. And then we bring it into the kitchen, or we bring it out to the grill and we say, okay, how do I turn the stove on? Like, I've got ingredients, but what is that even? What do I do with the ingredients? So you've done well. You've taught us some great principles. Then you say, okay, you've got a great meal, but who's the audience? Like, who did I invite to sit at my table? You know, did I make macaroni and cheese, or did I make a very specific, you know, something that really ministers food wise, content wise, ministry wise to the person that I've invited to the table? And then this is going to land the plane of this conversation. What's the last piece for us to scratch the surface on this topic?
And this is, it's interesting. So Nate, this last piece is the piece that is least investigated, the least amount of knowledge about, yet is the most important when it comes to massive influence, when it comes to reaching multiples of those people who you can reach with your book. So for instance, let's say you just had that dinner time conversation with your ideal reader. This is someone you know in your life probably, and that's amazing. That's fantastic. You go, man, that went great. The food was perfect for them. They loved it. Who else could I give this experience to? Who else could eat and be nourished and be fed and be enlivened to go out and, you know, to make Christ known? Well, very few people think about that. And this moves us into the invitations. So imagine this ability to, you know exactly what's in the pantry. You know how to cook it. You know the exact person who needs, but you knew this last person. You invited them over to dinner. You knew their address. You knew their number. You knew their email. You were texting them. It was great. But who are the thousands upon thousands upon thousands who are just like that person, who have no idea who you exist? That's as good. A writer, as a pastor, as a person with this unique story. So invitations, I had mentioned in an earlier episode that just being excellent in all parts, having a great story, being able to write it well or work with a team to write it well, knowing your audience perfectly, you could do all of those perfectly and still be a part of the 99% of all writers who sell 5,000 copies or less in their lifetime. Wow. Not in a year, in their lifetime. Wow. Because they didn't focus on the invitation. They said, I'll have my friends and family and the people they know, and that's it. They'll never reach more people than that. So invitations, and this topic, it's this weird juxtaposition of it's so boring to most people and writers, because writers don't want to think about invitations. They want to focus on the meal, the word, the writing. And this gets me emotional, because this is the exact problem that that made me start my company. Because I saw so many writers out there suffering, hurting, and frankly, thinking that they were to blame that their books were not getting out there, thinking, mm-hmm. well, I guess the message that God gave me really isn't important, or I guess my story really isn't effective. And the fact is, you could put a world-class musician, you could put a world-class book, is what I'm trying to say. You could put a world-class musician in a subway, have them play, and those people will just keep walking by. Mm-hmm. They'll never know you were world-class. That happens today, and that will happen with your book. You can have it all excellent. You got to send out invitations. You have to let people know you're there. You wouldn't start a church without letting people know you're there. You would hit the streets. You would leave door hangers. You would call people. You would say people at coffee shops, "Hey, have you heard about us?" You have to send out invitations. So that is a little backdrop to this last topic that is very near and dear to my heart, because it is the one thing standing between many great Christian leaders and followers of Christ who are maybe reaching a 100th of the people that they could be reaching.
Yeah. Well, and I think to my experience with you guys, first of all, that's a great point, great concept. We talked about so much in the previous three for you to say, this is probably the most important, like it's just going, wow. And I don't want to discourage anybody, but I want us to, I do this a lot in ministry. I coach a lot of people as well. Sometimes it's good. I like to overwhelm somebody. I like to just say, this is so much bigger than you, and show them why they need my assistance, or they need this, or why we're encouraging this, because we overwhelm them. And it's like, oh my goodness. Because a lot of times that humbles people to the point where they'll actually listen. Whereas before they're like, well, I've heard that. I read about that. I read two books on writing. I know what I'm doing. Sure. But when they're overwhelmed, then they say, okay, wait a minute. Now I feel like if you've ever felt like you're drowning, you don't care if it's a life vest, you don't care if it's a floating monkey, you don't care what it is, you're going to grab onto that thing and you're going to pull yourself up. And so I think this is such a good point. And what I was so valued with our relationship with Sermon to Book, Speak to Book, is the way that you guys use this funneling system. It's so funny because we use that term at our church. We have for many years before I ever met you guys. And we talk about how do we funnel people, the right people. So you got 100 people that show up for the first time in a year at a church. How do we funnel them? You know what? A lot of them are just, we funnel them right back out the door. This church isn't for you. But then the ones that stick to this next level, how do we engage them to the next level of content? And so one thing I would push heavily, and you can speak to, I don't know if you're ready to even want to talk about and get down that road, but Sermon to Book, Speak of the Book, what you guys did with my content was you funneled things to get the right end users to where people will buy. And it was just so neat to watch how it worked. Cause when you explained it to me, it was, eh, that makes sense, but is this going to work in real world? And we watched as you send out this bigger picture for free, then you give a discount, then you can speak to that or as much as you want, or you can just speak to the concept of how do I reach my end user? How do I get that right invitation into the hands of the right person? Do you have any thoughts around that, or am I being way too ambiguous?
No, definitely. I mean, I have got oodles of thoughts on this. That will probably, yeah, I got too much on this, Nate. So even for instance, just yesterday, I was working on a new document to help as we onboard new clients. And by the way, thank you for saying the thing about, like, I don't want to overwhelm anyone here. I want to redirect you to this amazing thought that privilege and influence is, like, just having massive influence is a privileged position, and it should be difficult. Yeah. And those who aren't afraid of difficult, those are the ones who we need. So if you're sitting there like, man, this is gonna be a long road, but God's calling me to this, like, amazing. You're that person who, you know, our companies were created for. Yeah, I mean, who wants to enter a race where everybody wins, or who wants to be in a world where everyone writes a book and gets read by the entire world? No, we want people to earn those places of influence. Yeah. And what great thing ever came easy? I mean, name one thing in your life that is incredible and it came easy. None of it worked for me. Not marrying my wife, not even how Jesus brought me to himself after being raised pretty, you know, kind of in a legalistic environment, not learning how to write and publish and do so both self-publishing and traditional publishing and learning all those ropes and marketing. That was, you know, 4 years. So all of it's hard. Yeah. But that's the good stuff. Amen. That's the stuff that allows me now to reach and help so many more people. So embrace this. One of my mentors said, he's like, embrace the difficulty, embrace it, hug it. It's your friend. One of my favorite quotes along that line is, you can have the pain of discipline or the pain of disappointment. And here's the thing. You're going to have pain no matter which way you go. But if you choose the pain of discipline, then you'll actually see the reward. And I can't remember who said that. I believe it was a basketball coach, but it was very good. So be encouraged. It might be a lot, but it's there for you. And if you're that person that God's calling for it, wow, what a time to be alive, because you've got a team, you've got guides, you've got people you can go to ask questions. Wonderful. But going back to your question, I was working on this document because just as I started off this session saying, this is kind of the thing that people think about least, we have been working hard at Speak It to Book and Sermon to Book to help make our clients more knowledgeable, even if it's not a route they want to go. So I was working on, you know, we often have onboarding calls where we learn about the content more, where we learn about the audience more. And so some of the things I wrote down here was, hey, like, we have to be asking our clients very specifically. And I basically did almost like a fill in the blank. Like, we need to know, you know, who their ideal reader is. That's pretty simple. What's their main problem? Pretty simple. But then there's this little bracket here that needs to be filled in called high value mini book. Well, what's that? Basically, you want to be able to have an elevator pitch of your content that is so specific for your one reader that they can't help be like, wow, I need that right now. Mm-hmm. And we help authors like you give away some of your best content for free, mm-hmm. because it lowers the barrier of someone who's saying, I wrote this book, so give me some money for it. It lowers that so that they can actually see, oh, this isn't like some scam or some new author who I shouldn't trust. I just read this book and wow, look at all this value. Now I need to go read all the other books.
That's it. There it is.
So we want to get our authors thinking about that right away. What's some of the best content you can give away for free, mm-hmm. and get in front of people, because that's what's going to get them hooked and keep reading your books, actually give you a shot. It's this idea of, if someone came to you up at Starbucks or something like that, and you know, if they said, hey, I wrote a book, want to buy it from me? I'd be like, no, sorry. But if they came up to me and said, hey, what's your favorite coffee? Let me buy one for you, and we'll have a quick 30-minute conversation. I'll be like, wow, that's really generous. Let's do this. Get to know each other. Find out they wrote a book. Of course, I'm going to read it. They thought about something valuable for me first, instead of writing a book and saying, because I wrote it, it's your obligation to buy it from me, even though you don't know me. So big difference there. Well, beyond this, we talk about this concept of a redemptive road. And essentially, if you're, you know, watching this on the episode, imagine someone's on one side of the screen. That's their beginning part. That's the you 10 years ago that you're writing to. That's the situation that started your journey and your story that's in your pantry. And you're writing to that person, but you're taking them here. Other side of the screen, right? You're taking them somewhere. Your book is only a part of that. Your book is a big part of that, but it's only a part of that. So I used an example of a book on dating I wrote. Looking back now, I wish I would have shot a nice video that I would have got in front of young people for free. Because they need to hear my heart. I need to get in front of them, and it needs to be video, because young people can't, the nuances that you can get through video are so important. So I would have created a free video that I would have got in front of them. Then I would have had the book. But then I know that when you're dating and stuff, you can't just read something to be over. I would have invited them to something like a Facebook group, where anyone who's read the book can now be a part of that. I'm a part of several Facebook groups. And like, if I accept into a Facebook group, I don't let it sit. Like, that's something that I've included in my life. I do it for my health, my exercise. I do it for different goals I'm trying to do. You need community. It's accountability. Yep. It's, hey, has anybody tried this? Hey, the person I'm dating said this. Does anybody have any help here? You know, I would have invited them into that. And then I would have thought through, okay, here and here, what about those people who need to end their relationship, but those who need to get engaged? Like, who's making sense. Well, you know what? I'm going to write another book about engagement or create a video course about engagement. And then there's the first year of marriage. So a redemptive road essentially is saying, don't get overwhelmed, write your book, but understand that you, the calling that God's put on your heart, your story is just a beginning. Your book is a beginning, but you can help people so much more. Yeah. And you can do that via books, via video, via Facebook groups. And that is what not only allows you to help someone to your maximum optimal capability, but it also helps you as the author, as the writer, fund your ministry.
There it is. Yeah. Well, that's just one of how many, like, and I know that worked for us. It may sound crazy giving best content away for free, but you've done that. One of the most read pieces that I've ever written is part of a mini book that you guys made. It took content from my other book that I wrote, and we give it away for free. And one thing that we've noticed with that, we have had multitudes of people from other countries who live in less fiscally blessed environments who read it and who have asked for, you know, can you do this? I want to share this. Can you translate this book? And they would have never bought the book because of where they are, but they got it for free. Now they're asking for more. And it's actually, we've got a conversation going around our leadership is, how can we translate all of our books now into this language and start promoting it over there? Because that's where we would have never known that had it not been for this funnel piece. So it opened up a huge door where we got to learn some things. But the bigger piece and the blessing for me is we get people from all over the world who have read the book for free that I don't know would have been able to buy it. And so it's the content. My original thing was obedience, but to get it at the end user's hands to bless them, that's what's happening. Now, at the end of the day, they write a review, they love it. Well, then it actually feeds, somebody else reads that and says, oh my goodness, this person's from South America or Indonesia. We've had books read all over the world and done reviews, and it blows my mind. But again, it's the fact that we were able to do what you guys suggested, the funnel piece. And so I think that invitation, who's at the table, you've got so much wisdom. And so I'll let you have the final word here in a minute. But to land this plan, to land the entire podcast, I want to continue to push people to sermon to book, speaking to book. One of the biggest hangups with people that I talk with is, well, it's expensive. Well, it's not. When you look at the end of the day, like most people could give up cable for a year and pay for what, you know what I'm saying? It's just the amount of money people spend on stuff blows my mind. And so you have to look at cost versus reward. You, if you're in the pantry and you're going, you know what, it's not worth it to me, then you're probably the one that, to your point earlier, hey, if that seems overwhelming, be overwhelmed. That's fine. But if you're really one that says, I'm overwhelmed, but it's okay, I'm willing to put in the dirt and the fingernails, let's have a conversation. So I know I've said it a dozen times, highly encourage people, at least go to speak at the book, some in the book. First of all, check out some of their content, but that you guys are so gracious to sit down and have conversations with people and at least, you know, kind of pull things out of them. And so I would encourage everybody to do that. But before I close this down, I'll give you the final thought on all four pieces or just a closing thought, whatever you want to say, brother.
Yeah. I'll piggyback on yours. I mean, writing and influence is an investment. You're either going to invest your time to be put in those 10,000 hours to write, to learn, you know, cover design, back cover copy, formatting, how to find an agent or a publisher, or how to self-publish, how to navigate that, how to set up your marketing, you know, all of that stuff, or you invest in a team.
Bingo.
And I have tried, honestly, almost run these companies into the ground trying to charge too little. And now we're in a position where we have some really incredible options for people, such as funding options that can be paid over 5 years. And even in that, even if that's not an option for you, you just heard the story of Pastor Dan, who went to work and within 30 days funded his book. He just signed a deal with us, I want to say a week ago or so. It's going to take work, whether, again, you're running like a Kickstarter campaign or you're giving up something to put money toward it. But the investment in telling your story and getting it into those people's hands who need it most, plus building a platform that you can continuously build from, there's little else I can think of worthy of investing in because you're serving others and you're creating a platform for people to continuously, you know, come to you if you can give that wisdom. So Nate, I really appreciate you having me on today. It was great talking about the pantry, talking about the feast, talking about the table, and now talking about invitations. And be that writer who writes an excellent book, who pulls out all the stops to be excellent. And then to finish this up, send out those invitations. This, I'll try and wrap this up in a little story. Today, I woke up and we had a couple of calls scheduled to people who wanted to chat about their books. We had about, 30 people who downloaded one of our books about, hey, where do you get started as a writer? And we had hundreds, if not thousands, receive emails from me giving value about how to write and how to publish. All of that happened without me doing anything. That's sending out invitations. And that can be done by anybody. It's you're creating a system that gives value without requiring your time or energy. You can send out invitations just like I did today without lifting a finger, but it's getting your book out there long after it's published, long after you had that friend over for dinner, and now you're reaching all of those people who are just like them. So I'll end with that. It is so, so, so important. And maybe we could talk at a future point to dive into this because it's so much here, but that is it's a big thing that people need to be thinking about. And it's a wonderful thing because it means that you as a writer no longer have to hope and pray that people find your book. You can actually get it in front of those people who need it most, not every week, not every month, but every single day.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I've been benefited of that where I'm getting stuff and I'm like, where's this coming from? And Gio or somebody says, hey, well, we sent out an email blast and this is what you're getting response from. And, you know, things that I have no part in, I'm just paying you guys as my team to do. I remember a story years ago, it was cracked me up. It was a factory and one of the main machines had gone down and everything was, you know, just not working right. And nobody could figure out what was wrong. And so they said, hey, foreman, we're going to have to call him in. And it was like a contracted guy. He didn't work for him. And they said, he's a specialist. He always has the answer, but he's like $5,000 a visit or something. And so anyways, he walked in and, he asked a lot of questions and finally went up, you know, walked behind the machine, diagnosed a few things and, walked behind the thing and cranked it back up. Everything was working. And they're just like, man, how do you do that? And they're writing the $5,000 check. And he said, hey, by the way, next time before you call me, you know, check your power source. Somebody had gotten unplugged. And so the guy that owned the company was livid. How would you charge us $5,000 because of that? He said, it's not the work that I did. It's the knowledge that I had.
That's right.
You guys have a team with a wealth of knowledge, with years of experience. And so it's not necessarily what you do. I used to be a locksmith for years and I would unlock a car in 30 seconds. And one time I got prideful, a guy was arguing, he couldn't believe I charged him $40 to unlock his car. So I threw the keys back in the car and I locked it. And I said, would you like me to take a little bit longer next time to make you feel like you got your money's worth? And I was just in a bad mood. It was a hot sunny day. Well, no joke.
That's a good story.
I stuck the tool in to unlock his car and it got stuck. I unlocked the car.
Oh no!
I sat out there for an hour and a half. I had to take his whole door panel apart and I had to sit in the hot sun. And by the end, he complained about how long it took. And I said, I don't even want to talk about it. So the Lord taught me a lesson that day about pride.
Wow.
But it was the fact that normally I can unlock a car because I've unlocked at that point. I'd unlocked, I think, 10,000 cars. I mean, I've been doing it for 10 years. And so it's what you know, and it's valuable, and it's helping other people gain value from your experience. So Caleb, appreciate you, brother. I love you. I will, again, put all these links out there. So thank you guys for checking out the Abiding Life podcast. If you're interested in this, please reach out to Caleb and his team, as well as share this content. Man, you may be listening to this and you're not, the content wasn't for you, but you like the Abiding Life. So you listen, share it with maybe a friend or a family member who says, I've always wanted to write a book and they're looking for a platform to help them do that. So turn them onto these videos and then let them reach out to Caleb. So God bless you guys. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing in the Abiding Network. And we will check you out on our next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today. Absolute just blast being here. And I hope your listeners enjoyed and got a lot of nuggets out of it.
Oh, I know we did. Thank you guys.